All right, so we're going to go to the message now. Last week we talked about Gifted to Belong Part A, and we talked specifically about the difference between the position of elders and the gift of pastor-teacher in the New Testament. This morning I want to talk about some of the other gifts, and if you're on the church's Facebook page, yesterday I posted a link to a spiritual gifts evaluation. 20 years ago, when Betsy and I were attending Lake Center Bible Church in Portage, Dr. Earl Rodmacher came to the church and held a spiritual gifts conference. And part of that spiritual gifts conference was a survey, an evaluation that we took at the end, anybody that wanted to, took at the end, about what are your spiritual gifts. Now, is it an exact science? No. Is it perfect? Probably not. But as you take that test and answer honestly, it may give you a better idea of the way that God has gifted you when it comes to spiritual gifts. And as we read through these passages of Scripture, what I want us all to recognize is that every person has been designed by God differently. Differently. And every person's gifts and skills and abilities have been placed into the body of Christ for two main reasons. One, as we read in this scripture here, is at the bottom it says, for the building up of the body of Christ. That's one of the main reasons. Okay? Now, this past week I asked you to look for the three things that show up in these spiritual gifts passages that always seem to be linked together. Did anybody notice as you read through those passages any things that seemed to be linked in those passages? Did anybody notice anything? I gave you one, right? What did I say the one was? Spiritual gifts. Right. Okay. Did anybody notice the other two? Building up the body of Christ is one. Yep, so there's one more. Did anybody notice the other thing that is in all of these passages? Serve the body. Yep, I would categorize that underneath the building up of the body. Unity, yep, building up the body. Love. It's love. As you read through those passages, there's an intimate link between the idea of spiritual gifts, building up the body of Christ, and love. And each of those passages, either directly in the passage or very close nearby, every single time these things are mentioned, it's all three of those things together. Okay? So last week we talked about this passage from Ephesians chapter 4, and one of the reasons, as I was thinking about these lovely suspenders that Jeremy gave me, I thought about the fact that each of these colors are, there's a variety of different colors here, right? And when we read through the spiritual gifts in the scriptures, there's a variety of different spiritual gifts. Now, Jeremy gave me suspenders that had several different colors in it. Now, if you think about your own set of suspenders as being your spiritual gifts, these are the things that hold you up, okay? This is just an illustration. And say that one spiritual gift is represented by, say, yellow. And another spiritual gift is represented by, say, red. And another one by, say, blue. Your suspenders would look different than the suspenders of the person next to you. Yours might be almost all blue, or almost all red, or it may be a good mix of the different ones. And none of ours would look exactly the same. Are you tracking with me so far? All right, now as we get into these passages here, we are going to see how God determines what spiritual gifts you have. Okay? Now, I used this passage 2 weeks ago, and so I want to give you the end verse of this passage, but then we're going to go back and we're going to look at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This one said, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So I am an individual, but I am also a part of the body. And God has placed me into my role in the body. And God has placed you into your role with your personality, your spiritual gifts, your abilities, and all of those things. He has designed you the way that he wants you to be. Okay? It's amazing to me when I see conflict within the body, so much of the conflict within the body just simply has to do with different personalities. Often it has very little to do with actual spiritual things. It's just that my personality is one way, and I think my personality is the best way. And you know what? It may not be. Someone else's personality may be different than mine, and yet it's still very important to the body. So many conflicts within the church are just based on personalities. If we could understand that God gave a diversity of personalities to the church in order to build the body, we would be so much better off. Some people may think that my abilities are the best for the body, and yet my abilities are different than someone else's abilities. And God placed people with different abilities into the body for the building up of the body. Your abilities are just as necessary as mine or anyone else's abilities in the body. And the same thing is true when it comes to the idea of spiritual gifts. God has bestowed on every single one of us, when we've believed in Jesus Christ for our salvation, certain spiritual gifts. And my spiritual gift mix is different than anyone else's. And mine is needed for the body, and so is yours. God has designed you in such a way to belong. You have been gifted to belong. Amen? Okay, so when Paul writes about spiritual gifts, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Guess what? I don't want you to be uninformed either. That's why we're talking about this morning. Spiritual gifts are something that have been bestowed on us when we placed our trust in Jesus Christ. Before I believed in Jesus Christ for my salvation, I had no leadership abilities whatsoever. I was not a leader at all. I was at best a follower, mostly apathetic. Let's be honest. But when I was saved, God bestowed on me certain gifts, and it's taken a long time to hone those gifts. But me as an individual now, I'm much different than I was prior to becoming a believer. One of the spiritual gifts that God bestowed on me was the gift of leadership. It's something that I did not naturally have. So here's what Paul says. He says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God empowers them all. Where does the power come from for those things? From God. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Why are they given? Spiritual gifts are given for the common good, right? For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of miracles by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another a variety of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, look at this closely. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as we want them. No, everyone's spiritual gifts are apportioned as he wills. That means that I should not be jealous over someone else's spiritual gifts. Does that make sense? I should not look at someone else's gifts that God has given to them and go, man, I wish I was more like that person. That's not why we have them. We have been given our particular spiritual gifts to find our place in the body of Christ. I've been gifted in a particular way to do what God wants me to do, and you have been gifted in a particular way to do what God wants you to do. You have been gifted to belong. You are a vital part of the body of Christ because of the way that he has gifted you, okay? And it's not according to how we will. It's not that I receive the spiritual gifts that I want. Because when I took the spiritual gift evaluation, there were some really weak areas. There were some areas that I looked at it and I went, I ought to be stronger in that area. I wish I was stronger in that area. And I can look at those things and I can make it a point to behave stronger in that area in order to help the body of Christ along. But naturally, or I should say supernaturally, because they're spiritual gifts, I was not gifted in that way. And yet other people, I look at other people in the congregation and I go, that person was very gifted in that way. Very gifted in a way that I'm not. Because the Spirit gifts as he wills, not as we do. You've been placed into the body of Christ to function as you do, not as I do. Does that make sense? Okay. So the next passage, actually, we continue on from there. It says, but God so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. You know, in the past, we've talked about what are our small groups called? Are they small groups? Are they care groups? Are they community groups? What is it? It's all confusing, right? And there have been some people that have been offended by the fact that we moved from the word care groups to the word community groups. And I understand that to a point because we wanted to make sure that the groups are caring for one another. And as we have small groups, I think that by far is the most important thing about any particular group is that we're caring for one another. Yes, we have Bible study lessons and things like that, but all of those things are secondary to caring for one another. So why did we move them from being called care groups to community groups? It's because care is just one part of community. Care is one part of community. The word community is more broad than that. So we ought to have the same care for one another, absolutely. But our groups, our love for one another, it needs to be a broad sense of community. That's one of the reasons I'm excited about what Joshi is doing. He's trying to bring an idea of community to us that's maybe not so natural in our culture. So that's what makes it exciting. So the members of the body, each individual member ought to have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And I think about the Hansel family right now that is going through the process of Glenn's brother passing away. And Marilyn shared with me this morning that they went up to visit Glenn, or they went up to visit Dan and then decided to come back, and they're likely going to head back up tomorrow. And so we need to continue praying for them. I think about Tiffany that's still in the hospital. I think about Kathy Lawson that's still recovering from her knee surgery. I think about Ray Jurek, whose father is still in the hospital. Now, Ray did text me this morning and say that they're going to allow mom to come up and visit with dad. So that's a nice thing for Valentine's Day. So praise God for that. But we ought to have that same care for one another. If one suffers, all of us ought to suffer. If one is honored, all of us rejoice together. That's part of being together. Part of being one body is that we intimately care about what's going on in the lives of other people. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? These are rhetorical questions here. Are all apostles? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. God has given you a specific gift mix. Okay? Then he says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. Now, when I was in Bible college, one of the professors that I had said, now you are earnestly desiring the higher gifts. He said that's a way that this could be translated. You are desiring the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. Now, I don't know. Roger can probably tell us better whether or not that's a faithful interpretation of that verse. I don't know whether or not it is. I just know what he's talking about when he says this more excellent way. Because this more excellent way that he talks about in the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 leads into 1 Corinthians 13. Raise your hand if you already know what 1 Corinthians 13 is about. Man, what a great Valentine's Day passage, right? Let's take just a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 at the bottom of the screen there. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. What were our three principles again? Spiritual gifts, the body of Christ, and love. Right? It leads right into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The first thing that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, after talking all through 1 Corinthians 12 about spiritual gifts, the first thing he says is, if you have all of those spiritual gifts and you don't have love, it doesn't matter. You can be absolutely gifted in an amazing way, but if you're not using your gifts in love, they don't matter anyway. If you're using them to show off, if you're using them so that other people think that you're so spiritual, that's not what the gifts were given for. They were given to build up the body of Christ in love, right? So maybe someone does speak in tongues. It doesn't matter if it's not done in love. Maybe someone has one of these other gifts and they use them. It doesn't matter if it's not done in love. So as we get further into the passage, I'm going to skip a section here, but I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 13. Now think about this, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through chapter 14 are basically one unit. It's talking about essentially the same thing all the way through. We've got spiritual gifts, we've got the body of Christ, we've got love. All of those things are spoken about throughout this section, okay? So when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 13, it starts with love never ends. And then goes into some of these other spiritual gifts. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So what that's saying is we don't understand everything right now. How many would say, I do not understand everything right now? All right, that's some good humility, people. That's some good humility. We don't understand everything right now. But when this imperfect passes away, then all that's going to be left is the perfect. All that's going to be left is the perfect. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. Now, many of you are parents. How many of you as parents think that your children have it all together? I don't see many hands on that one. How many of your children think that they have it all together? There's a saying that how does it go? I wish that I was young and knew everything again. Right? When I was young and knew everything, that's a song, I think. When I was young and knew everything, right? We are the children of God. We are continuing to grow up. And as we grow up, we may understand things better, but we still don't understand everything. And so these spiritual gifts that we've been given them to be used in love. And I like what Paul says here towards the end. He says, now we know in part, but then we shall fully... Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped it. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been known. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, when we think of a mirror, you look into a mirror and you get a pretty clear image today, right? If I was to look into a mirror, I would see the things that I didn't do perfectly on my face or whatever, right? Think about this. When the Apostle Paul was writing this, this was the first century. Mirrors didn't give quite as good a reflection as they do now. Here's a first century mirror. Okay? Now think about that. Imagine that you took the rust off of there and you shined that mirror up. Would you get a reflection? Sure. You'd get a reflection. Would it be as clear as mirrors are today? No, absolutely not. You can shine that as much as you want. You're still not going to get the reflection that you would get today. Now take that imagery and apply it to what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's saying we see some things now, but we only see it as though in a mirror. It's still dim, it's still faded compared to what the real thing is going to be. Compared to what the real thing is going to be. We don't see every detail, and that's okay. God does. He sees it absolutely clearly. But we've been placed into the body with certain spiritual gifts that we are to use in love, because love, out of these three, love is the greatest of the three that will abide: faith, hope, and love. We don't understand everything perfectly right now, but there's coming a day. What does it say? The partial will pass away. When the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. There's coming a day that happens. In the meantime, we need to be patient, and we need to do things in love. All right, I need to move on from here. The first verse of chapter 14, by the way, says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." And we'll probably talk about that in a different message. But look at that, the first two sections there. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. We find those two intimately together. Now, Romans chapter 12 says, "By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think with sober judgment." Think clearly, right? "For according to the measure of faith that God has assigned, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." Then the next verse says, "Let love be genuine." Let love be genuine. So we've got those three principles again. We've got spiritual gifts, we've got the building up of the body, and we've got love, intimately aligned with one another. First Peter, there's one of these that doesn't come as clearly here. But read what this says. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. What does that earnestly mean? Put some effort into it. That's a great analysis there. Keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So each of us have received gifts, and we're to use those gifts in stewardship of God's grace. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the parable of the talents. You remember the parable of the talents? The master of the house assigns the three men different amounts of money, and then he goes off on a journey, and he comes back and he asks them, "What did you do with it while I was gone?" And the ones who used it well, he praises them, and the one who didn't, he calls wicked. The spiritual gifts that we have been given, we're not supposed to bury in the sand. We're not supposed to pull it back out later and say, "Here's that gift that you gave me." No, we're supposed to use those gifts that he's given us to serve one another. To serve one another. And I know that some of us may be thinking, "Well, I can't serve the way that I used to be able to." That's okay. If God still has you breathing, he still has something for you to do. It may not necessarily be the way that you were able to serve in the past, but he still has a purpose in the gifts that he's given you. And so you still have a stewardship, and you're still moving towards that time where you breathe that last breath, step into the presence of the Lord, and you either hear or don't hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I think the vast majority of us really want to hear that. I think we want to step into the presence of our Father and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And part of that is stewarding what he has given to us, including our stewardship of our spiritual gifts. He says, "Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So what we see here is we see this concept: love, spiritual gifts, and the body of Christ are intimately linked to one another in the Scriptures. And my challenge to us this morning as we depart from here is I want you to evaluate and then see if there's a way that you can increase the way that they are linked to one another in our own lives. Is there a way that you can do a better job loving one another? Maybe it's through what Joshi has put before us this morning. Is there a better way that you can build towards the unity of the body of Christ? Is there a better way that you can serve with your spiritual gifts? I have one more passage that I want to share with you. I've mentioned before that the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians are intimately linked with one another. A lot of the things, they're almost reciprocal with one another. So as we read through the book of Colossians, we come across this passage here. Chapter 3, verses 11 to 14. "Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Now listen to this. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against each other, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Now do not miss this. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Put on love that binds everything together. That's where our focus as a body of believers needs to be. How can we love one another more? How can we love one another earnestly? Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together. It's love. It's love that should hold us together. What does that song say? For they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for the Apostle Paul and what he wrote to believers, Lord, regarding spiritual gifts, regarding building up the body of Christ, and most importantly, about our love for one another. Help us to love one another earnestly, Lord. When one suffers, help us to suffer along with them. When one rejoices, help us to rejoice along with them. Help us to know the way that you've gifted us and use those gifts to build up the body of Christ. Father, help us to not be jealous of one another because we've been gifted in a particular way and someone else has been gifted differently. Lord, you know what you're doing. You know why you've done things the way that you have. We're thankful this morning for our individual spiritual gifts. We're thankful for this body, and we're thankful, Jesus, for love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.